Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Call in and take control of the airwaves and talk about anything that you have an opinion on. 603-283-6160 is the call-in line if you want to do that. That's 603-283-6160. And data is beginning to come out that verifies something that we knew all along, which is that having and recovering from COVID-19 offers far more immunity than the vaccines. I was just looking at something that was shared on Facebook, just a screenshot someone sent me, and the numbers, it's like 6.7 times more likely to catch COVID-19 a second time if one gets the vaccine versus not getting the versus having COVID-19 and recovering from it.
Well, that makes sense.
Right. It's almost like the human body has, 200,000 years of evolutionary training on how to deal with viruses versus this.
No. Really?
Yeah. I know, right? Huh. It would be so shocking to find out that that's true.
And now you have a bunch of industry, money-making industry playing God, trying to make up their own and really, really playing around with the old system, the old way of doing business, and going to town on some brand spanking new science. And guess what? You guys are the guinea pigs. I hope we get past all of this. I'm talking about the mRNA.
I'm hopeful about the situation, but we haven't really gotten into it. But before we do get back into it, let's go to the phones. We've got Craig calling from California. Craig, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Craig.
I'm just calling regarding what you guys were just talking about with the monkeys and the cages. And I'm wondering if any of you guys have heard Jack Spierko from the Survival Podcast. He has a really great analogy of how human beings have become domesticated livestock, tax livestock, and how what's going on is just part of the hardcore training that we're all going through. And it's just a great analogy. And you guys talking about the monkeys and the cages. And
well, what's the analogy, if you don't mind? I mean, I'm familiar with Jack Spierko, but I've not heard this.
Yeah, how that, the one group of monkeys that were trained to act a certain way will keep these other monkeys in line with what their trainers want. And you see this with the people that freak out if you walk through the door without a mask,
mm-hmm.
When there's no rationality whatsoever to wearing a mask. If you do any sort of analysis whatsoever, they're just...
Well, there could be some rationality behind it. The issue, as far as I can tell, is that people don't wear them properly. They're constantly touching them and adjusting them and things like that, which is just touching a petri dish that is basically attached to their face.
Oh, just thinking about the nasty diapers on their faces all day long, just pulling them off and then throwing them on the ground. I see them on the road all the time, and they're everywhere.
And it's, as far as people throwing them in the trash, there's 100,000 of these things thrown away every week in the United Kingdom.
Disgusting.
And I may be wrong on that number. I think it's actually 100 million, if I recall correctly.
I don't know.
Yes.
I think
100 million are thrown away each week in the UK.
That's insane.
So, yeah, the environmental damage from this is untold.
And yet the very same people who are pushing this stuff also believe in saving the environment, but they don't seem to care about all this. I mean, how long is it before we see a mask choking a turtle to death in the ocean or whatever?
I think I've seen that picture, actually.
I talked about this when I had to go through these drive-thru lines at banks, and I saw all, because it was winter, so people left their cars running.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being able to turn your car off and go into the bank, you had to just sit there pumping out all of these deadly carbon emissions mm-hmm. into the atmosphere. And I said, what's the point of saving our lives if we have to destroy the environment to do it, right? Because I don't believe either of those things is going on, but that's the narrative they're weaving. And I don't remember the responses I got, but it was basically, yes, stopping COVID-19 is more important than saving the environment.
You know, by the way, that's my same argument for more roundabouts. You know, people stopped at red lights are basically killing the earth, supposedly destroying the earth, and roundabouts, not so much, because you just keep moving. You keep on flowing, right?
Craig, you're in California. What's it like out there? Where are you in California?
I'm 15 minutes outside of L.A. County. But you mentioned the I surf a bit, and I see masks floating in the water. You know, so so much for the environment on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's still a lot of too many people running around with their masks on, even outside, even in their cars alone.
In California, in the summer.
Well, Los Angeles County just reinitiated the indoor mask mandate. So, I mean, of course they're going to keep it on outside just because they're obedient.
I hate to say it's Orwellian, but one of the things that, you know, is Orwellian about it is just the government seeing how much an individual will torture themselves. The point isn't for the government to torture people. It's to brainwash people until they're willing to torture themselves and to see how far they will do it.
But they feel good about it.
Yeah, it's part of the simulation. I think it's a test. I think it's a test to see how we'll react and who won't. And I don't know. It's troubling. But I mean, there might be some light. I am more optimistic in all of this in that this is a huge test and that some of us are actually winning the game.
Craig, how bad does it have to get before you get out of there?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you the same thing. What's keeping you there, man?
Oh boy, family. I have young kids, or young as in young adult kids, in the married stages, you know, just getting married.
What's keeping them there as well?
I know. It sounds like a nice opportunity for a mass exodus out of there. Take the whole family with you.
Yeah. I have investment property. It's an ordeal. And our next investment is going to be out of the state. And that's for sure. And it's trying to figure out where. I know you're going to tell me New Hampshire.
you tried Jefferson.
State of Jefferson. I've been looking a lot up there, but that's,
what is the state of Jefferson?
It's something that they're trying to make happen.
It's a real thing up there. Been up there a lot.
Up where?
In Atlanta.
North California, Southern Oregon. It's a secessionist movement.
Okay.
Yeah, it's real. It's a whole different breed of people up there. They're mostly conservative, but there's a lot of libertarians. There's something going on up there called the Red, White, and Blueprint, which is more of a conservative movement, but it's still libertarian in a lot of its thinking. You know, just the idea of
still, it doesn't seem likely that California, one of the most tyrannical states in the United States, is going to allow, you know, a segment of its population to just break off and start
doing
its own thing.
They might. I mean, if California, there's a leftist secessionist movement in California that has a fair amount of steam, and I believe they're trying to get another ballot measure or a ballot measure put on soon. Yep. I'm not sure what the status of it is. Yes, California is the group, but if they are successful in, you know, moving the idea of secession forward, since they're a group of leftists, I imagine that if the conservatives in Northern California came to them and said, hey, while you're leaving, we'd also like to break away from you. And they might, I don't know, they might go for it.
I don't know, man. The lefty socialists, they want control over people.
Yeah, that's my thinking in this. Unless it's so hard for the leftist secession movement to break off that they are not able to really take the whole state with them because they don't have enough power, I think that would give Jefferson the opportunity to kind of go their own route. But the leftists that Arya is referring to that I agree with, they're not going to allow it to happen unless it's out of their hands and they can't take it with them.
I would rather see New Hampshire secede. And I think it has probably the best chance of being successful, given that so much of New Hampshire is already sort of distrustful of the federal government.
I agree. But I've said this many, many times. I don't think that we should even attempt to do so. until something like this happens in California and or Texas, the big money making states.
Well, I think New Hampshire should be on the forefront.
I don't want the Fed moving forward with his plan. I don't want the feds to make an example out of us. I want a big state like Texas to do it first, and I want them to take. I want all eyes on Texas, and then we can kind of slip off in the night when everyone's looking the other way.
It's not going to work that way.
No, and I don't think the federal government would react the same way today as they did in the 1860s. But I don't know. Maybe we'll find out.
Let's find out.
Yeah. Go to nhexit.org.
Tom, I don't know. It's not my site.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
In the warehouse, the job has to get done. But if you're working with an outdated forklift that has more downtime than up due to maintenance, it's time to make the switch to Novalift lithium-ion powered forklifts. With a Novalift forklift, you get less downtime, a longer lifespan, fast, efficient opportunity charging, and a 5-year cost of ownership that will save you almost $45,000 over internal combustion models. Novalift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Find out more at NovaliftNA.com/save.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
We'll be right back.
Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you want to join the discussion, that's 603-283-6160. And I would say thank you to Jenna Talia, who is tonight's amplifier. Jenna is a platinum-level amplifier, which means that Jenna is giving $25 per month.
Love that name.
Oh.
Is it the second time?
I think it is, yeah. Yes. Every single time. I don't know, man. I don't hear it when I say it, I guess.
She also didn't get the Terry wrist thing.
I know, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not good with puns and wordplay, I guess. But anyway.
Keep sending them in, people. As long as Aria's on, you're going to get her.
Jenna is contributing $25 per month, at least $25 per month to the AMP program. We don't ask that much. All we ask is $5 per month to join the AMP program. And AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. But it seems like joining the AMP program might be the best way to get me to say something stupid on national radio. So if you value that, you may consider joining the program and using a silly name. It only takes $5 per month, and it comes with a number of cool little features like an AMP-only Facebook group that I don't think anyone really uses, and an AMP-only chat on the Matrix server.
We get a good post, good one or two posts a day.
Do we?
Yeah, sure. I'm on it, guys, so if you want to yell at me, I'll comment on your posts.
Awesome. I'm glad to know that it's active. I don't think there have been any new membership requests. I think that's what
Not
I was thinking.
Months and months and months, probably like more than a year.
So, Jenna, thank you so much for your contributions, and we hope you continue enjoying the show. Let's go to the phones, though. We've got Greg calling from New York. Greg, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, everyone. I sort of wanted to talk about how I think there's a little bit of a conflation between libertarianism and being anti-left wing. There's a lot of sort of leftists around the world that are much more libertarian than the right wingers. And everyone talks about Venezuela. But, for example, in Portugal, there was this time they wanted austerity. The economy was failing, and the German banks wanted to repossess a lot. And the Socialist Party came into power. And in 4 years, they decriminalized all the drugs. You can do any drugs in front of cops, completely fine. And, yeah, they put in safety nets, but then people returned to the country, and the economy actually improved. And then they ran again and won again on the economy. That's just one example. Of course, these socialists are not real, like, socialists. It's social democracy, but they call themselves socialists.
Why is it that socialism?
Well, because socialism is when you want to collectively own the organizations. Like, for example, you don't need the government for socialism. You can have, for example...
No, you don't need the government for communism. You do need it for socialism.
Well, what do you define socialism as?
The government directly controlling all business and property.
But representing the people, supposedly.
Well, yes, obviously. They're not going to reveal their true interest, which is the pursuit of power.
But at that level, if you look on Wikipedia, it's synonymous with state capitalism. So the state acting as a capitalist, owning everything, you know, you could say...
No,
fine,
yeah, that's fat, but then you're talking fascism now.
Yeah.
Well,
state capitalism, that's not
fascism is where the private industry is still quote-unquote private, but completely regulated and controlled by the state, right?
But isn't that state capitalism? Where you kind of own your business, but the state is really in control?
I would say they are synonyms.
Yeah,
and the
lines start to blur because, you know, democratic socialism isn't traditional socialism in the classic sense of, like, Russian communism or whatever, but it is still socialism because the state could still take your business at any time they want to. So they regulate your business, they tax your business, like fascism, but they may also decide to nationalize your business like they did in a bunch of industries in Venezuela, which they can do any time that they want.
So the only real difference is that in democratic socialism, the people can get together and they can vote to have your company taken away from you or to take some more money from you and redistribute it elsewhere.
They could, or the politicians might just do it on their own volition.
But that's just regular socialism, right? That's what this country is.
It's just put a new name on it. I mean, that way they call it democratic socialism. That way Bernie Sanders can say that, oh, no, this is different.
To be fair, Ian did say the lines start to blur.
Yeah, they really do.
They do. I mean, when the state gets involved, it's kind of crappy either way. So, you know, when you have the Holodomor in the Ukraine, it's because the state decided to enforce collectivization. And when you have the Irish potato famine in Ireland, you know, earlier, it was because the state decided to enforce property rights as landlords over the people working in the field. So either way, if the state comes and decides to use force to enforce property rights or collectivization, it's usually bad. What I'm talking about, I'm a fan of libertarian socialism, and I'm talking about housing cooperatives where people voluntarily decide to live together and have, you know, shares in a corporation, for example, or credit unions where they decide to lend to each other, which is going to become very important in this inflation, because you won't get good rates from commercial banks, but you will get it from credit unions, which is a form of socialism. That's what I mean by socialism when I say it.
You mean credit unions when you mean socialism?
I mean, if what you're talking about is collective voluntary ownership, I really don't think that you should taint that idea, which could be successful. Now, there have been some miserable attempts at it over the years, but there have been some successful communes. But, you know, I think that you should be more specific, because socialism is a system of government, and it's not a voluntary order in any way, shape, or form, and nor has it ever been.
Thoughtco.com says a libertarian socialist is a libertarian that agrees with anarcho-capitalists. They agree with anarcho-capitalists that government is a monopoly and should be abolished, but they believe that nations should be ruled instead by work-share cooperatives or labor unions instead of corporations.
Isn't that anarcho-syndicalism?
I don't want to be ruled
by
anybody.
That's what I always thought it was.
I don't care what you are. I don't want to be ruled by you.
Supposedly,
yeah, I don't want to be ruled either.
Yeah, supposedly Noam Chomsky is a libertarian socialist.
To me, it's like saying, you know, sovereign citizen. The two words cannot go together. You know, you can be a libertarian and want to have collective ownership of things as long as it's done voluntarily. Cool.
Yeah, cooperatives that are voluntary are all right with me. But then you talk about labor unions. As far as I've always seen throughout history, even right now to this day, labor unions are just strong arm their way. They get their way. They force people to go their way or the highway, or we'll burn your building down. We'll throw a wrench through your window. I have never had good feelings about labor unions.
Well, there aren't very many good connotations of the word syndicate, right? It's always a crime syndicate or something like that. And anarcho-syndicalism, or as what you just read, libertarian socialism, is the idea of basically creating these syndicates and putting them in charge of whatever industry their syndicate's over.
Yeah.
That sounds like a bad idea to me.
I'm not a fan.
It might be pretty bad. There's two types. There's consumer cooperatives and producer cooperatives. Farmers could join into a union. The thing is, though, you've got to understand that if you have a top-down pyramid and there's an owner of a factory or whatever, that's also enforced by force. If you question what they do and they fire you and you refuse to leave, you'll be escorted out.
Here's my thing. Show me one commune ever that has survived.
They exist.
They're usually old hippies.
Like in Vermont.
And they usually have people who are going through there. They last about a week and realize they can't handle work and they go back to the city.
More coming up here, 603-283-6160. If you want to join the discussion, it's Free Talk Live.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Poundy Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Jeff Bezos is speaking after taking a flight to the edge of space. It was a perfectly novel mission. It was so much fun and meaningful, too.
That audio courtesy of NBC News. He blasted off from West Texas this morning. The rift between Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Tony Fauci is growing. During a tense hearing on Capitol Hill, Paul suggested Fauci lied to Congress, and Fauci fired back.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you were referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
Gain of function referring to research that gives a virus new capabilities like making it more contagious. This is USA Radio News. A federal judge is siding with the university when it comes to mandatory vaccines for students.
A federal judge has ruled that Indiana University's requirement that students get vaccinated against COVID before returning to campus in the fall can stand for now. The ruling denies a request for a preliminary injunction of the policy while a lawsuit from a group of 8 students works its way through the courts. That suit arguing that the school's policy violates the 14th Amendment. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Firefighters in southern Oregon are gaining some ground on the country's largest wildfire. The bootleg fire is 30% contained after making its way through over 364,000 acres. Meanwhile, the Beckwith Complex fire on the Sierra Nevada mountain range is 88% contained after burning through over 115,000 acres in Northern California. The fire center says Montana leads the way with 18 large fires, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you want to join the discussion, that's 603-283-6160. With you tonight is Aria, Ian, and Conan. And Conan, I want to carry on the conversation we were just having, because the way you define these terms, it qualifies me as being alt-right.
Okay, so okay, hold on. What's the definition?
I was just bringing it up. Wikipedia says alt-right, alternative right, is a loosely connected far-right white nationalist movement.
And that you've already, not a white nationalist.
You've already You've already lost me there, because I think some alt-righters, proud alt-righters, would never consider themselves white nationalists. This is
written by a leftist. Like,
it's got to be. But
the Boogaloo Boys, you characterize those as being alt-right.
Yes.
No way. They're libertarians.
Yeah, they're libertarians,
hardcore.
Dude.
All right, but there are alt-right libertarian boogie boys who
there
vote.
There may be.
Who are all about Trump and
I'll
whatnot.
Tell you what. With the Boogaloo Boys came out in New Hampshire, I think it was early this year. It was during the wintertime. And they had an event out in front of the state house, and I went because I was curious. You know, I mean, I know, like, you know, Matt, probably would be considered a Boogaloo Boy, and he's pretty libertarian.
And that was how we got into this, because he said that, you know, Matt Roach is, he's heard Matt Roach say some alt-right things. And I've never heard anything from him.
So I showed up at this event, and it was, there was only like 5 of them that came out, but they were hardcore pro-liberty, libertarian, voluntarist, anarchist people. I'd never met them before, didn't know who they were, but they were on point with what they were saying. You know, I spoke with them, asked them some questions, and they are definitely non-aggression principle libertarians.
And that was your take. Was the term libertarian brought up?
Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
I know I don't call myself a free market anarchist because people immediately don't understand what that means. You go with voluntarist.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know what libertarian because, I mean, Glenn Beck says he's a libertarian. Bill Maher says he's a libertarian. So you've already gotten libertarians have already been drugged through the mud because of those two knuckleheads.
Sure.
Alt-rightism, I think, has different connotations depending on who's talking about it. If it's a pundit on Fox News talking about alt-right, he's talking about Boog Boys. He's talking about right-leaning libertarians who vote minarchists. If it's Bill Maher talking about it or it's some left-wing guy, alt-right means white nationalism. So, I mean, I think it really depends on who you're talking to. So my question is, what would you call, as far as politically, what would you call a Boog Boy?
Libertarian.
What if he voted for Trump, and he's all about what if he's got
a misguided libertarian?
What if he's got a Trump sticker on his truck?
A misguided libertarian,
possibly.
I don't expect a libertarian to always be right. I know plenty of libertarians who were hoodwinked and voted for Trump.
Yeah, and you correctly in the break brought up the libertarian to alt-right pipeline where we lost last year, the last 4 years, we lost libertarians. To
the alt-right.
Maybe because it depends on who's saying it. Maybe we should just say we lost libertarians to the right. Was it the alt-right, or was it just the more right-wing conservative voter?
I think a lot of them went alt-right.
Maybe.
I don't know what percentage of them did.
And again, but they're not white nationalists, so...
Some of them are. I mean, look at Christopher Cantwell. He used to be a libertarian.
Okay, correct. All right, he is definitely an alt-righter.
He's not the only one. He's the only one that, you know, we personally know, but that, like, Liberty Hangout used to be fairly strongly libertarian.
Right.
And now they're just hard out right.
Yeah. And then Trump came along.
Yeah, now they're just straight up Trump supporters.
And got everyone's hopes up.
Alex Jones used to say things that sounded kind of sort of libertarian-ish, and now he's as alt-right as you can get.
I don't know.
Well, now that there's a Democrat in office, Jones is starting to sound more like old, angry Alex Jones again. He's not as pro-government as he was for the last 4 years prior to Biden. But check out freekeen.com, search for Boogaloo in the search, and you'll find an article and a video that I wrote and Vincent edited the video together of some of the footage.
And these are the guys you met.
These are the guys. There was like five of them out in front of the State House. January 18th was when I posted this story, and we talked to these guys extensively. From what they were saying publicly with their sort of prepared statements, I'm like, these guys sound libertarian.
And where were they? Where were they?
Out in front of the State House.
No, where were they from? I'm sorry.
New Hampshire.
So, I mean, all right, what are the Proud Boys? Are they Boogaloo Boys? Are they alt-right?
I don't know enough about their ideology to say.
Proud Boys seem to be alt-right.
Right.
We've looked into the Proud Boys before here on Free Talk Live, and you know what does it mean or whatever. It seems to be a pro-Western ideology.
Superiority of Western society.
Western society superior. Men should be superior to women. Women, you know, places in the kitchen, that kind of
alt-right talking points. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Mm.
So to me,
but they're not racist per se because they have.
Sure.
Like,
aren't there Proud Boys of color? Is it
yes,
like
there
the,
yes.
is it
one
like
of the founders?
Isn't their founder like a Cuban or something?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see Western society supremacy as being really an improvement over white supremacy.
No, they're not a libertarian group at all.
Yeah, it's just a different form of imperialism and colonialism.
They want to go out and fight. They want to fight some Antifa, and that's what they go and do basically.
Okay. So what do you characterize as being alt-right?
Well, obviously, I don't know. No, I said that to me...
Any definition that would include me as being alt-right is probably not accurate.
To me, it has always been dependent on who is throwing it around. If it's a conservative throwing it around, I was considered the Boog Boys to be a little alt-rightish.
I would say that alt-right...
Gun-toting, maybe voted for Trump, has conservative values, has some Proud Boy values, where they maybe think that, men and women are different, and they have their specialties, and they should probably focus on what they're good at instead of this equality that's being thrown around, like the differences don't really mean anything.
I would say that the alt-right while not necessarily being white supremacist, it does require being a conservative, a social conservative,
right,
with some level of bigotry towards some group or another.
But the right wing has frequently had bigotry involved in it, right, over time.
That's true.
Are they? Who are they? So, who are they bigoted? Well, everyone.
So I guess the difference is, what's the difference between the socially, because the social right and the alt-right?
That's my question. I've actually just sent a message to Vincent, former co-host here on Free Talk Live, who sort of has been steeped in the alt-right for the most of his adult life. He was in the, I would say he was in the alt-right when he first started on Free Talk Live a long time ago, or when he first started hanging out with us in Keene, and he has since moved in the very pro-liberty direction, but he still pays attention to that scene, so maybe he would be able to tell us what the difference is between sort of classic or standard right versus alt-right, because I can't say what it is.
And as far as bigotry from the right, Aria, what are they really, so basically, I hate you because I have a different, I think differently than you, or you think differently than I do, so I hate you. That's the bigotry that you're talking about. So who do conservatives really hate these days?
Trans people.
Really?
Dude, that's why trans people are constantly...
2021, we're still dealing with this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
Maybe I've just been in Keene too long.
It's so irritating, dude. But it's everywhere. It is the issue that America wants to fight over.
Are we talking real life, or are we talking like 4chan?
We're not talking about being restricted to 4chan, but it's primarily on the internet. Absolutely. I mean, right. In my day-to-day life, I don't encounter any of this nonsense.
That's where I'm coming from.
I also live
in Keene for a decade too.
Yeah, I also live in Keene, New Hampshire now, and not Mississippi, where I would encounter this nonsense on a daily basis.
Is it possible? I'm just kind of speculating here. Classically, the right has always, at least in my experience or my, observation, had to do with being, very Christian, very religious. Does the alt-right have that kind of baggage associated with it?
But keep in mind,
that's a good question.
Keep in mind, alt is alternative, and these people have embraced this term, which is thrown at them in a negative way. But they've embraced it because they consider themselves, I think they consider themselves to be the true right, and the right-wing conservative branch of people are the rhinos, the big spending, the supposedly small government, but they're just almost as big spending as their Democratic counterparts.
I think Ian hit the health nail on the head here, though, and that it's just that the alt-right doesn't have the Christian drapings of the classic right. What are your thoughts? Maybe you can help. 603-283-6160.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. I would say you're more than welcome to join the show still, but we're in the final segment. We've got three callers sitting here. So
always. Why do you guys wait to the last segment? You always do this.
Well, two of them always do. The other one is Vincent, who has a show called Shire Free Media. Vincent, where can people watch your show?
DLive.tv/Shire Free Media, where I won't get taken down for medical misinformation.
That's on DLive won't take you down?
No, it took me down for something else. Better than YouTube.
So why do you believe that medical misinformation isn't going to get you thrown out?
Well, just because they haven't thrown me out for it yet, as opposed to YouTube, who threw me out for it.
That's pretty optimistic.
Good for you.
I think you should migrate to Odyssey.
Yeah, I was trying to tell him that the other day. Did you ever check out your Odyssey account, Vincent, to see if you can do live stream?
Oh, no, not yet. It's my day off. You're calling me on right now.
Well, thanks for taking your time out to clarify for us, because we've been discussing for like the last 20 minutes here, what is the alt-right and what is it that makes it different from the old school right or whatever?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think currently, like in, you know, the post-2020, I think alt-right is sort of like an antiquated term, like Whig or Cavalier. Like, my understanding of it, and like, I've been politically active, you know, but all the way back into high school, and so I was sort of in the heat of things, and at least the way I would describe it is that the alt-right was a coalition of these various sort of like right-leaning groups who range from being like national socialists, white nationalists, to like edgy, Hoppian, you know, right-wing libertarians. They all got together to support Donald Trump in the Republican primary against what the regular right. So, like, you know, the Bill Kristol National Review, who supported, you know, Jeb Bush or Ted Cruz or whoever. And so then once Trump got elected, the alt-right started to fracture because they got, you know, their goal was accomplished and they realized that a lot of these, you know, groups hated each other. And then you would still hear the term be thrown around and basically, like, you know, the most, like, irrelevant, repugnant groups, i.e., like, you know, the racists, like, you know, Daily Stormer and such, they would fight over each other, along with Cantwell, too, actually, now that I mention it, now that I think of it, over the label of alt-right, even though I think it's, like I said, I think it's at this point, it's...
You mean argue as in try to claim it for their own, say that they were the true alt-right?
Exactly.
Was the Tea Party, was that alt-right?
No.
They were just, who were they? Just disaffected?
It was initially started by Ron Paul, but it got co-opted very quickly.
Correct.
By, Michelle Bachmann, I think was her name.
So she's just a right-leaning conservative who's... But how is the Tea Party different? Because you're talking about disaffected conservatives. How is the Tea Party different from the regular conservatives? And why are they alt-right? Or they, if you think about it, they are alternative right,
right? The Tea Party occurred before the alt-right rose.
Correct. But maybe they were a precursor.
All right, so wait... It's still not clear to me, because you said the alt-right was people who supported Trump, but clearly, I would think being alt-right would mean more than just which presidential candidate you support. You threw out that there was a group of different groups that had sort of come together and used that term, or applied that term. You said some white nationalists, but of course white nationalists have been involved in the right before the alt-right, so that's not anything new under the sun. So I was throwing something out there right before we went to break, and that is a religion as heavy of a component amongst alt-righters, or was it in 2016 or whatever, as it seemed to be among, say, you know, the standard right?
Sorry, you asking me?
Yeah. I mean, came from that place, so I figured you know better than we do.
Well, the standard right, I suppose, to be described as, like, people who are either, Kennedy Catholics, who used to be Democrats are now, but it's pretty much, you know, when you think of a religious right, you think of evangelicals. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that the alt-right is much more like it's like fire and brimstone, pervaded in this really, at least for me, like theologically problematic thing. It's like we're returning back to traditionalism. So we're sickened by the glitter bug, Joel Osteen, you know, evangelicalism, you know, the snake charmers, and they're moving back. We're using like crusader memes, right? They're calling themselves trad calves, even though the average Catholic would, you know, want nothing to do with these people, or Orthodox bros. So we're, you know, taking solace in like medieval, you know, at least medieval ideas of modern religion.
Hey, this is the first time I've heard anything like that.
So they are religious, just in a different way.
Medieval-like.
Well, there's so many of them. I mean, not all of them are, right? Mm-hmm. There's, like, you know, quite a few who are atheists, quite a few who are Catholics, or, you know, Southern Baptists, or science fiction worshippers like Jones.
But ultimately, they do share a ton with the right in that these people are still pro-war around, you know, the whole world, right? Like, they're just sort of different...
That's what made them different than the regular right, was that they are anti-interventionism.
Really?
A majority of them, yeah. Even, like, from the Hoppian libertarians to the racist white nationalists, the majority... Like, I don't even think the majority. I think almost all of them were anti-war, and that's why a lot of... non-traditional people supported Trump was because he was less of a warmonger than Clinton.
Arguably, he was the least warmongering of all of the right-wing candidates. I mean,
he didn't start any new wars.
Yep.
I mean, that's a really low bar, to be fair, but he is the only one who limboed under it.
What's coming up on your show tomorrow night? You got you're on what time, and you're doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Sharper Media?
Absolutely. I decided to move back to 10 p.m. just because I have nothing worth waking up early for.
Cool. That means you're not competing with us anymore. That's good.
I got to support my upper night owls. You know, people need conspiracy theories in the middle of the night, and that's what I want to provide for them.
All right. So what's coming up?
DLive.tv/ShireFreeMedia?
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
What do you got coming up tomorrow? Do you got anything planned for the show already?
Oh, Son of Sam.
The Son of Sam. Wasn't he a murderer?
He's a serial killer, right? Was that the clown one? Was it the clown guy?
No, that's John Wayne Gacy. No, Son of Sam and his ties to the elite, to the point where we're going to... And he's not the scary one I'm going to talk about. The scary one are the people that he's afraid of.
Ooh.
Sounds like it's going to be a great show.
It's DLive.tv/ShireFreeMedia?
Yes.
Check him out. Thanks, Vincent, for the call tonight, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Good to hear from you as well.
I think that cleared up a little bit.
It did. And I I don't have any way of disagreeing with him. I do think the alt-right is a deprecated term that
it's a slur for sure, and it's not just being thrown around.
Well,
by
it
the
no
left.
Longer has any political relevance. The alt-right no longer exists. Because,
obviously, it does because people like Cantwell want it. They want to be the alt-right.
But there isn't an alt-right. All of these groups fractured away from being the alt-right.
So now it's just a boogeyman conception that people are still throwing around to scare people.
Yeah.
I think there are alt-righters out there. I think they exist. I don't know that they're actually
white.
There
may be people out there saying, "Hey, I'm the alt-right," but whether or not they're actually, I mean, the alt-right doesn't seem to really exist.
Well, of course, now that Wikipedia has added on the white nationalist tag, maybe people are distancing themselves from it because they don't want I don't agree with that. But if you're going to distance yourself, then yeah, maybe. Maybe it's dead in the water.
It's possible. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I just heard in the last hour's news cycle, current news cycle, I heard it live in the voice of Scott Gottlieb, former director of the FDA. It sounded like a threat to me, the way you should listen to it on the internet yourself. It's all over the news.
What was he saying?
He said in relation to the COVID virus, the Delta mutant strain of it, that, quote, most people who have either not been vaccinated or have not gotten the COVID already are likely to get infected with the Delta variant. And he said it so that mean that you are going to get it. You are definitely going to get it if you haven't been vaccinated and you haven't already had it. You're going to get it. And it's going to be the worst virus of your entire life. And it sounded very ominous, so you should listen to it for yourself. But I took it as a threat. It sounded very much like a threat.
Well, it's only a threat if he's going to give you the virus himself, right?
Well, just listen to the guy's tone of voice. It sounded very inappropriate. Scott Gottlieb in the news cycle just today, and it's worth listening to.
Okay, well, thank you for the call tonight, David. I don't know what strain of COVID I had. I never actually got tested for COVID because, you know, there was no reason to. But I don't really know that I even had it, other than the loss of smell and taste for 7 weeks or whatever. But, you know, people are going to get sick. And the virus, the COVID-19 virus, is going to evolve. Next, there will be an Epsilon strain and all of these others. It's a cold. They evolve. There's a new one every single month, really. I don't know how often the common cold evolves, but...
You'll be all right.
Yeah, you will survive, more than likely. That's it for tonight's show, but we're online in the meantime. You can join us and chat with us at social.freetalklive.com. Thanks for listening, social.freetalk.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.